Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome. You are on the Call to Action Radio Network, and this is not Steve Noble. This is his equally obnoxious friend, Chris Connell, a local pastor here in North Carolina, friend of Steve's. Don't hold that against him. And I am so proud to be here on Black and White Day. I've got the incredible, the one, the only, Bishop Wooden. Bishop Wooden, good to have you here with us today.
Hey, Chris, it's good to be here. And thank you for having me, and we miss Steve.
We miss Steve incredibly. Steve always, he never fails to say something that doesn't shock me. That's always, I feel better about myself when I listen to him. Right. I have to say this, if you don't know, Pastor Wooden is a phenomenal, Bishop Wooden is a phenomenal pastor, leader, all kinds of accolades. You know, my favorite memory of you, you might remember this, is in 2007, we were working on the Greg Laurie Harvest Crusade, and I came out to your church for a Christmas event you were having.
Yes, sir.
And you wrote a song called It Feels Like Christmas to Me. And your church got down. I mean, they got down and boogied, and I had the best time of my life ever at church.
I remember that. It was a great night. I wish I could take credit for writing the song. Actually, Al Green.
Oh, Al Green. I didn't know that.
Yeah, okay. On his Christmas CD.
All right.
He's the writer of the song. But they love it at the church, and it gets you going and all in the Christmas spirit.
All right. Well, how is your church doing? I've not been there in a long time.
Yeah. All is well.
Upper Room Church of God.
Upper Room Church of God in Christ. All is well. I tell you, we're fighting the good fight of faith. We're in a time of revival and renewal and growing closer to the Lord, especially with the things that are going on with the Supreme Court, the recent decisions and the direction that our nation is going in. I am doubling down.
Yeah.
We're not losers. We're winners.
Amen.
The God of the Bible is in control. The Bible declares that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And he's still in charge. And we're actually putting forth a conscious effort to embrace even the more the scriptures. We believe that marriage is still and shall always be a union between a man and a woman. In fact, Chris, I'm trying to get away from saying traditional marriage. I think I'm playing a game. I'm participating when I call it traditional marriage. It's either marriage or it's not. And if it's a man and a man, it's not a marriage. A woman and a woman, it's not a marriage. It's a mess.
Right.
So we're doubling down on those things. I said this past Sunday that women have really shocked me, because there are women today who will look at a man with a dress on with a male body part between his legs and declare that that man is a woman and call him Caitlyn Jenner.
We're going to talk about that today. Race, gender, matrimony, and murder. That was a perfect lead-in, Bishop Wooden. Black and White Day, race, gender, matrimony, and murder. You know, I was going to start with the racing, but since you mentioned the matrimony thing.
Yes, sir.
I am 45 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have been serving the ministry for 20 years.
Yes, sir.
I have had plenty of opportunities to be around those who struggle, and I say that word on purpose, with homosexuality
right.
as a sin issue.
Right.
Had the opportunity to minister to them.
Yes, sir.
Been in the homes of people who were gay couples.
Yes,
I don't agree with the lifestyle. I believe it's sin, so I'm not advocating it.
Right.
But you couldn't have gotten me to bet, and I'm not a betting man,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't have gotten me to bet that this would be the case. And so I want to talk about this morning, afternoon on Call to Action. Did you ever in your lifetime, I mentioned this before the radio, before we started, and you said something, you ever in your lifetime imagine, Bishop Wooden, that we would be in a place that as pastors in America, we would wonder, when does the government come after us because of this issue?
Yes and no. In the late 80s, early 90s, I actually the Lord began to show me, one of my spiritual giftings is that I see things and I see trends. And the Lord showed me that as time moved forward, homosexuality and lesbianism will be treated more favorably. And we even began to cry out back then, warning people that homosexual marriage was coming. No, in that I didn't think that it would get here as quickly as it has. And I do believe that what is at stake is our First Amendment rights. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a battle. I want the listening audience to hear this. The next big battle will be between the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment.
And what do you mean by that?
Because the First Amendment guarantees us freedom of religion, our freedom of speech. And the 14th Amendment, with this deal, this equal opportunity under the law, where people actually read the 14th Amendment and read in that the right to for persons of the same sex to marry. Well, and they legalized it. All right. Well, now that it's legal, what are we going to do with regard to those of us who can practice our religion? Justice Kennedy did say in his decision that we can continue to teach and proclaim that same-sex marriage, it should not be condoned. But he didn't mention practice.
No, he didn't. And you're listening to the Raid Call to Action Radio Network. Guest host Chris Connell in for Steve Noble here on Black and White Day with Bishop Wooden. Race, gender, matrimony, and murder. If you want to call in and talk about that, 877-448-7884. The call-in lines are open. I'm deeply disturbed by this. I live in a little town of Clayton, North Carolina, outside of the Raleigh area.
Wonderful little town.
And they put up this little thing in the square, and it said, before I die, and then people could, with chalk, write whatever they wanted to write. And there's some teenagers wrote some inappropriate things. But one person wrote, before I die, I'd like to be proud of America again. Mm. It's tough growing up in America to see your country turn this way. So there's the patriotic part of you. But that's not the same thing as the Christian biblical part of you.
Right.
And what are you telling your church about this issue, Bishop Wooden?
We're turning away from what America is doing is turning away from the God of the Bible. We are witnessing the falling away that has been predicted in Scripture. And as it is becoming increasingly, you'll see this, it will become increasingly patriotic to embrace these wicked behaviors as time go on.
It'll be the American way.
Yes. And so the American,
it'd be un-American, yes, to do otherwise.
See, you and me and Steve and people who believe the way we do, we're becoming a new minority. We're the new kooks.
Unpatriotic.
Right. Unpatriotic, unloving. You hear it all the time.
Yes.
Unkind, unforgiving, judgmental, yes, homophobic, you know. We are becoming the deviant ones. If deviancy is action that is beyond the norm, negative action that's not a part of the norm, well, the new normal is perversion and to turn away from the God of the Bible. I love America. I love this country. I think one of the greatest things that could have happened to me was to be born here. But I love the God of the Bible more. And I just said this past Sunday, as America turns from him, I'm staying with the Lord. And when America's turned from the God of the Bible, I'm turning from America, because patriotism is not my God. It's not my religion. My religion is Christianity, and my God is the God of the Bible.
You got to focus on Christ. You got to,
yes,
focus on the Word. Race, gender, matrimony, and murder here on Called to Action Network. And guest host filling in, Chris Connell for Steve Noble. I want to give a shout out to my pastor, Chad Harvey at RFA Church.
Yes, sir.
I'm a big fan of his. But you know, this is one of those issues that that after I processed through it some, that I looked and said, okay, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to win the lost, and we're going to have to disciple people.
Right.
So I don't know that the job of the church has changed much.
No.
Regardless of this decision.
In a sense, it's a wonderful time. A few years ago, I prophesied that the day would come where the true believer and the nominal believer will separate, because the world will deem it so. For a while, you could just be a good old churchgoer and be recognized as a true believer.
The tares and the wheat, you would,
yes,
look the same.
Yes, but now those of us who truly believe the scripture, there is a big divide coming between those of us who truly believe the scripture and those who are merely religious and who go through the liturgical motions, but there's really no relationship there. So it's exciting to be a part of the fulfilling of scripture. Daniel said, that which is determined must be done. So when I hear preachers preaching about the last day and there's a great worldwide revival coming, well, what I read is that in the Bible, that in the last days, evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I think that we're honored, that the Lord has honored us to allow us to be Christians and to stand for the Lord in these last days. These are exciting times, and we're going to see a mighty move of God.
That's encouraging. 877-448-7884. If you want to comment on anything that Bishop Wooden or I am saying, listen to Call to Action Radio Network. Steve Noble out. We're talking today about race, gender, matrimony, and murder. And what do we do now? What do we do now in the midst of all this? Well, I think, Bishop Wooden, that this is one of those things that one of the things I don't want the church to do, and we're going to, the next portion, we're going to cover something else. And you need to stay tuned today, because during the last segment, or the second last segment, we're going to play for you a video clip that will blow your mind.
Yes.
You've got to stay tuned for that. So, but one of the things, I don't want people in my church or any followers of Christ to be angry at the world in a such a way, because I look at those folks like, you know what, they're not committed followers of Christ. They haven't agreed to the same thing. Do we need to continue to watch that we have compassion for the world? We're timing out here, but any quick thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. We've got to love. We've got to be motivated by love. And love is compassionate.
Love is compassion.
Yes. Love All is right. compassion. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for listening to the Call to Action Radio Network, Race, Gender, Matrimony, and Murder, here on Black and White Day with Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't miss the next segment. We're going to talk about race. You are listening to the Call to Action Radio Network with guest host Chris Connell filling in for Steve Noble. What's different with me and Steve? I'm as equally obnoxious, but I'm not as tall, but I am as pale. Let me say that. It is Black and White Day with Bishop Patrick L. Wooden Sr. Bishop, good to have you here again.
It's good to be here.
He is literally, I'm not kidding, he's one of the coolest people on the planet, Bishop Wooden. And I honestly, I'm hoping in heaven, I've asked the Lord for two things in heaven that I know he's not going to give me. One is, I want to be taller than my younger brothers who are both 6'2", and I'm 5'8", and I'm still very resentful. And I want to have a voice like yours. It's like a Chris and James Brown. It's like so cool. And it's like, I never had that. It's amazing to be around you, so.
Well, you have a perfect radio voice, and it takes cool to know cool. So I'm listening to all this. I'm sitting here looking at this guy, and hey, Steve, if you're listening, he's better looking.
So listen to Black and White Day, and today we're talking about race, gender, matrimony, and murder. What yes. do we do now? What do we do now? So we just finished kind of talking about the whole matrimony thing. I'm going to talk about the race thing here for a second.
Yes.
Currently, the big thing in the news right now on the race thing is in Hempstead, Texas. There is a woman by the name, last name is Bland, her first name is Sandra. She was arrested, I believe, for like speeding or something, and then put in jail. While she was in jail, they believe she committed suicide, but now the family is coming out and they are saying that no, she didn't. She would never do that. She said she hanged herself with a plastic garbage bag July 13th, 3 days after her arrest during a confrontational traffic stop. Her death at the Waller County Jail, about 60 miles northwest of Houston, comes amid increased national scrutiny of police after a series of high-profile cases in which blacks have been killed by officers. Okay, so Bishop Wooden, I'm as white as you get, okay? So here's the thing for me. I have a great deal of empathy and sympathy, but I feel like I have no place to stand on this topic to speak. And so what I mean by that is I have an opinion on this, but I look at these situations and I hear about one more case of somebody dying in police custody. And I go, do we have a significant problem on our hands in America with racism against black Americans with the law? I know it's a loaded question, but I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Well, with the recent headlines, I've looked at each case individually. Now, with the young lady, with this particular case, well, it's too early to rush to judgment. We don't know what happened, and quite frankly, her family members don't know either. And I'm sure that the investigators will investigate. It sounds like a terrible tragedy. I certainly hope that she did not take her life.
Me too.
And if she didn't, I hope that if someone murdered her, that that person is prosecuted to the full extent of the law. However, I do know that there are some bad apples in the police department. I know that there are some bad apples in pulpits. There are bad apples in the operating room. There are people who don't do right, okay, white and black. But I do not believe that the biggest problem with lives being taken in the black community is that of uniforms, the police officers killing African-Americans, murdering African-Americans. However, having said that, I do not believe that in South Carolina, when the guy jumped out of the Mercedes and began to run, I'll say this.
I watched the video.
I do not believe that had that guy been white, I don't believe the officer would have shot him 8 times and then tried to stage the scene. I was pulled the other day on my way to church, and I was guilty.
Yeah.
I was in a
I
good
want to see how many times I've actually got a speed ticket on my way to church.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm having a good prayer meeting, and I'm thinking that I'm in a 45 mile zone. I was in a 35 miles, and he got me for speeding.
Right.
The first thing the officer asked me when he pulled me over was, "Is this your car?" Now, I could have asked, a multitude of things came to my
now,
mind.
I've been pulled over and never been asked that question.
I've never been asked before. It's a nice car. He asked me, "Is this my car?" I could have said, "What? Are you saying a black man can't drive a nice car?
Right.
Is that patrol car your car?
Right.
You know, is this
right.
is this standard?"
You could have smarted off at
it. Yeah. But what I did was I want to go to church. I want to survive the encounter. And I said, "Yes, sir, this is my car." And we went on. He wrote me a ticket, and I went on to church. I do believe that in many cases there is a hostility toward African Americans that we tend not to see with people who are white and the police. But at the same time, there's also a tendency when the police pull many in the African American community for us, many of our people, to behave unseemingly. A chief of police in Maryland, of all places, that who used to serve, when he was serving, he said one time they did a test and they took the silhouette at the gun show. Well, I mean, at the range,
the shooting range, right?
And they changed the silhouette from a black silhouette to a white silhouette. And he told me, and this guy's a born again believer. He said the officers, their actual efficiency went down. Now, having said this,
meaning they shot the target less.
Oh yeah, well they weren't as precise.
Right. Got it.
You know they shot, but they missed a whole lot. Wow. when the silhouette was white. Having said this, and I believed him, there are 1,876 black babies aborted per day. Now, if there's any place where black lives matter, it's at the abortion clinic. And we see no one marching for the rights of the unborn. This is just African America. 1,876 babies per day. In 2014, some 127,000 more blacks died than were born. And of the 616,000 plus that were born, 480,000 were aborted. 284,000 died from all of the other causes, which also included.
That's horrific.
Oh, yeah. Which also included maybe 120 or 100 or so by a police officer, but in clashes with the police that were not deemed in every case to be murder. So black lives matter. But I think that we're saying, when we say black lives matter, that they matter also. But I'm saying to my black brothers and sisters, let's fight at these clinics, because that's where we're being eradicated.
Great point. Race, gender, matrimony, and murder. Stay tuned. We're coming back with a video clip that'll blow your mind. Thank you for listening to the Call to Action Radio Network. Guest host Chris Connell filling in. Connell, filling in for the man, Steve Noble, here on Black and White Day on the Call to Action Radio Network. And as usual, the one, the only, Bishop, Pastor, Dr. Patrick L. Wooden, Sr. of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. Bishop, thank you for being here again on Call to Action.
I'm honored to be here, and I'm enjoying serving with you. We miss Steve.
Yes.
But Steve picked a tremendous host to carry on in his absence.
All right. So thank you. It's very, very nice of you. And there is so much to talk about. If you want to make a comment, call in. I don't know if we're able to take it or not, but if you want to, 877-448-7884. I've got to play a video, okay? And the audio in the video is not great, so you need to go to it yourself at operationrescue.org and watch it on your own. Operationrescue.org. Steve may even post it on his Facebook account at some point, a link to that. And basically, in this video, and today again, race, gender, matrimony, and murder here on Black and White Day, there is a video, and it is a second video in an investigative series from the Center for Medical Progress exposing Planned Parenthood's illicit sale of aborted baby body parts that has now been released. And Steve texted us while we were off the air for during the break, and he said, you know, what's interesting about all this stuff is that we are now at the 90th anniversary of the Scopes trial, which happened in 1925, which opened the door for evolution to be taught in school. And now we're going from that back 90 years ago to selling baby body parts. The most recent video shows a luncheon conversation with Dr. Mary Gatter, who currently serves as president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council and medical director of Planned Parenthood's Pasadena Abortion Clinic. She also served as a medical director of Planned Parenthood Los Angeles until 2014. In the video, Gatter is heard haggling over the price she would charge for intact fetal body parts. Now, when I hear the word fetal body parts, Bishop Wooden, I read baby body parts.
That's it.
I refuse to say fetal. Baby. I refuse.
Baby.
And it's concerned it should be lowballed. Now, I also want to say this while I'm at it. There's an article in Time Magazine that I get this at my house that is about more women who are counting on egg freezing to prolong their fertility. What in the world is going on in our country? So we've got clinics that are freezing their eggs so women can have babies.
Right.
And we got other women who are aborting babies. And we got Planned Parenthood, who apparently is selling the baby parts for research. This is one of the most craziest seasons you've got to be living in. But it's also, like you said, a great season. Well, in this video, she asked for a $75 per specimen. That would be per baby part, okay?
Right.
They never say baby.
No, sir.
They never say baby. They say fetal. They say tissue.
Right.
They say specimen. Mm-hmm. Because in order to do this, you have to objectify the object, the person.
Right.
You can't say baby.
Can't be a human being.
No, it can't be. So right. I'm going to play a clip of this. Listen, the background, the noise, again, it was done without her knowledge, so the audio is not great. Again, operationrescue.org. I'm going to play a clip of it right now, okay?
Tissue. What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you used to pay?
That's her.
Okay.
What sort of compensation?
I don't think so. I would like to know what would make you happy. What would work for you?
You know, in negotiations, a person who throws out the figure first is at a loss, right? So,
I don't look at it that way. I know. You want to play that game, I get it. But
Dr. Mary Gatter,
no, I want
Planned Parenthood.
You know what? If you lowball, I'll act plus
negotiating a price for baby parts.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I want to know is... What would work for you? Don't lowball it.
Okay.
Tell me what you
really. $75 a specimen.
Oh, that's way too low.
Okay, I'm going to stop for a second. Come back to that. Bishop, would not know if you caught that. Right. She said $75 a specimen.
Right.
Later in the video, the lady who's offering it says, "I think that's low. Let's go to 100." Later in the video, she actually says, well, I tell you, before we come to a final price, I want to check with some other clinics to see what they're charging. It's just to cover our cost.
Right.
If it's just to cover our cost, then you're not negotiating. You're right. Just saying it cost me this much to have this done.
Exactly.
And in fact, during the video, the person who is asking her says, you know, we want to make sure these are intact. And Dr. Gatter says, explains that she has no problem altering the procedure, the abortion procedure, the killing the baby procedure, to one that is less crunchy. That's literally the word she used, to ensure that the baby's body is intact as possible, but also implies that they need to avoid the appearance, if not the fact, that they are selling the tissue. You know, this may sound like an extreme response, but here's where I'm at with this, Bishop Wooden. This is like in Germany in World War II when Patton, I believe it was, I could have the wrong general, came in. He found one of the concentration camps, and he literally made the local German community go out and bury the dead. And I wonder if we don't speak up, will future generations, should the Lord Terry, look at us and say, how in the world could you be silent about this? Because I look at this and I think, this is insane. So what they end up proposing at 10 to 12 weeks, she says, if our usual technique is suction at 10 to 12 weeks, we switch to using an IPASS, which stands for something, I don't know, and something with less suction is what it is, or increase the odds it will come out as an intact specimen. Specimen would be baby.
Right.
Then we're kind of violating the protocol that says to the patient, we're not doing anything different. So they're concerned about violating the protocol for the patient, that we're doing anything different in our care for you if you agree to let us take the baby from you and sell it.
Right.
Dead. Now, to me, that's kind of a specious little argument. That's what she says. And I wouldn't object to asking Ian, who is her surgeon, who does the cases, to use an IPASS as a gestational age in order to increase the odds that he's going to get an intact specimen, read their baby. But I do need to throw it out there as a concern, is what she says. IPASS is an manual operation, abortion method that uses a syringe to apply gentle suction using no sharp implements. I want to throw up in my mouth.
Well, I tell you, that's the kind of thing that make the Christian have to pray to be loving, because it would be very easy, and I shouldn't say this on the air, to just break her neck while she's talking about babies. But listen to this. I hope the audience could hear my hand clap. This is what this is the organization that President Obama said he applauds their efforts in 2008. Now, I don't know if he was aware of this or not, but I know he's aware of what Planned Parenthood does. Planned Parenthood is the weapon, for those black listeners out there, of mass destruction in the black community. It is genocide. And what's amazing to me, there are only two major political parties in this country. And if you read the party's platform, the Democrat Party gives full-throated endorsement and support to abortion and the so-called woman.
It's a part of their platform.
It's a part of their platform.
Yeah, they don't hide it.
And I'm saying to every believer who's listening, if you happen to be registered, and I do believe that God's going to also judge us by where we put our John Hancock, what we sign an allegiance and support to, I think that that alone should be enough to say, leave this party, become independent, become Republican, become nothing at all, but don't sign and be a part of this, because this is great. It's almost unconscionable wickedness. Yeah. You don't know how to deal with this in this segment, because you don't know how to discuss it.
Yeah, and we can get into the subject of...
It's illegal?
Yes. It's a mess. You know, I am pro-choice prior to conception. What do you mean by that? Choose who you have sex with. You know, if when my wife and I have sex, and she said we're pregnant... It was worth the experience. Let me tell you. Yeah. So, you know, that was a part of end of story. That was a choice that we made. I'm pro-life after conception.
That's it.
I look at this situation, and here's where I stand. I don't care if people are offended by it or not. If as an American, if I vote for someone who stands for pro-choice, I'm personally killing babies.
I'm with you. My position
is. That's where I stand.
I have a litmus test. If you're pro-choice, there's no need in talking to me. There's no need having a conversation, because if you're for killing babies, the Bible says this in Proverbs 31 and verse 9, we're to do this. We're to open thy mouth. Well, verse 8 says, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. That is, we're to be a voice for the voiceless. The little baby, the mom who goes into the clinic, that baby is appointed for destruction. And believers are called to be a voice for that child.
Yeah. And we don't hate people who have abortions or hate people who, no. I guess, perform them. I hate the whole procedure. Yeah. But honestly, this video should be on every news network in America, even if they prove the thing is a hoax. It's so bad. And I want you to go there, OperationRescue.org. Sit down and watch the entire video. They haggle about it. At the end, she jokingly says, you know, I'm not trying to make a profit. And she jokingly says, well, I'd like a Lamborghini.
Yeah, I want the Lamborghini.
So listen, they believe it's not a baby in order to do it. They have to.
Well, these are wicked people. I don't think it matters to them. And I will say this. We shouldn't hate. I'm not for blowing up a clinic or shooting anybody.
Me neither.
But I tell you what bothers me just as much as that extreme. The lack of righteous indignation on the other side.
Yeah.
Where is the moral outrage amongst born-again believers?
Yeah. Somebody should go to jail for that.
Yeah.
There really should be.
Yes.
People should be arrested, and this is ridiculous. And, you know, Bishop Wooten, I'm sure you've dealt with this in your church. We've dealt with it in ours. There are women and men in our church who deal with the scars of abortion.
Right.
And now we add to it, they took the baby and they took it as a specimen, as if it's a lab rat. And I'm not against the abuse, abuse of animals either. But I look and I go, we cannot dehuman the baby. It is a child at 10 to 12 weeks, heartbeat, eyes, arms, everything. It is incredible to see that. And all I can tell you is this, is if you are a listener and you are faced with the issue of whether or not you can continue to have a baby that you're pregnant with, Bishop Wooten, I'll speak for my church. You may speak for yours. You come see us.
Yes.
We'll take the baby.
Yes. We have agencies. We have ministries. There are provisions to help.
We'll take the baby.
Yes.
And we've got people in my own church that will take the baby.
Yes.
So if that's the issue, stop. Let the life live, and I promise you, you won't deal with the payment. Well, all kinds of things here today on Black and White Day, race, gender, matrimony, and murder. You've got to watch the second Planned Parenthood senior executive haggles over baby part prices on OperationRescue.org. It's also on YouTube, of course. And I look at this thing, and I don't even know how to speak. Here's the other thing. Bishop, how do I talk to my kids about stuff like this?
You just got to tell them the truth. And it's an ugly reality that they need to be armed with. And I'll tell you this, 78% of Planned Parenthood abortuaries are built within 2 miles of high black population centers.
Is that intentional?
Oh, yes, sir. We're targeted for destruction, and yet we vote 90%+ for the one party that supports Planned Parenthood. It's amazing. We become willing participants in our own demise, and then we march and say, Black Lives Matter. Apparently not, because the main people who are slaughtering blacks are the people who work for Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics, and politicians who support them.
Race, gender, matrimony, and murder. Black and White Day on the Call to Action Radio Network. Stay tuned. We come back. Gender bending. Gender bending. Bishop, that's Bill Wooten Sr. Murder, race, gender, marriage. What do we make of all this? All right, so here's the deal, Bishop Wooten.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's an article that I'm reading, and it is, I got to grab it here, about Rachel Dolezal. Okay, so I'll make this, first off, as a black man, are you offended by Rachel Dolezal saying she's black? And if you are, I'm fine. I don't really care either way.
No.
Okay. All right, so
no.
I just need you to let me kind of spew something and then respond if you would. And
here's okay.
So Bruce Jenner can be Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
He still has a penis.
Right.
But he's a woman in his soul. Okay, get put a dress on, spend money on, okay, and that's okay. We applaud that. I'm literally trying to track this. And we're going to give him the Arthur Ashe Courage Award.
Right.
We're going to pass over a 19-year-old female soccer player who played with brain cancer.
With brain cancer.
And died of it because this man put on a dress that came out in public that he feels like he's a woman.
Right.
But Rachel Dolezal, as a white woman,
can't say she's black.
She has a black. That's not allowed.
That's not allowed.
So I am. What do you? I don't even understand this. Does that make any sense to you?
No. So when you reject God's truth, it's amazing what people are willing to believe and begin to fall for.
Yeah.
We're going to embrace a kook. Bruce Jenner is messed up. He's demon possessed. But I guarantee you this: he's not totally crazy. I believe this, that when Bruce came out of surgery, the first thing he did was he lifted the gown and looked down and made sure that the doctor followed his instructions and left his manhood intact.
Yeah.
Now, the rest is reversible, but Bruce knew that. This man is demonic, it's wickedness, and it's a part of the big lie. Everybody participates now in the charade. Everyone lies. President Obama is our first black African-American president. Well, what about his mom? His mom was white. All right. Bruce Jenner is now a woman. Delazar, she's not white. She's black. See, everyone now is asked to participate in a charade. Two men can marry. Two women can marry. I believe that we're being set up for the big lie that the Antichrist will tell the world when he sits in the temple of God and declare himself to be God, and the world is going to applaud him because we're all being conditioned to participate in charades, in farce, to lie and be lied to, and we all look at each other as though we're enlightened because we're willing to believe a lie. Bruce Jenner looks like a fool. You know that. Big feet, long legs, big hands with a wig on. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. Cher's daughter.
Yes.
Chaz.
Yes.
Says that she doesn't need the male's body part to be a man. That tells you right there. She knows nothing about being a man.
No, that's very true.
Yeah.
And, you know, interestingly enough, D.L. Hewley, who is apparently a comedian, came out and actually said, this is ridiculous. He's an African-American comedian. I never even heard of him until I saw the article. And said, what about Lauryn Hill, this kid who played soccer and had a brain tumor and played anyway.
Thank
and,
you. Thank
he
you,
said,
DL.
We looked over her. And then he said this. He said, in the midst of dissing Caitlyn Jenner's award, he said DL also was a supporter of tennis champion Serena Williams and challenged the mainstream media's idea of beauty. In the last month, we've had the media tell us Caitlyn Jenner was beautiful and Serena Williams looks like a man.
What?
I think Serena's one of the most beautiful things, he says, I've ever seen on a tennis court, and Bruce Jenner looks like every PE teacher I ever had.
I'm with him 100%. If Serena Williams looked like a man, I need glasses. I think she's an incredibly beautiful lady and an incredible athlete. But Bruce Jenner doesn't look like a man. Bruce Jenner is a man.
Yeah. And I guess he's still celebrated Father's Day. So here's what I want to go to now. Race, gender, matrimony, and murder on Call to Action Radio Network. Black and White to hear with Bishop Wooten. Bishop Wooten, what in the world, if you got kids, what do you tell them about these things? How do you explain them? What are you telling your church about these issues?
I'm telling the church that when we reject God's truth, we're willing to believe anything. And I believe that parents should reinforce. With my grandkids, for example, I have a grandson and a granddaughter. John Patrick knows exactly what it's like to be a boy, all things boy. And his sister, Pamela, she's very dainty. She's a little girl.
Right.
And we glorify, we lift the differences between the two, and we praise him for his boyish
How
ways.
How dare you,
you know?
Bishop Wooten?
Yeah, well, we do it. And we love her for her little girlish ways and that kind of a thing. And we spoiled him. But I think that reassuring and cementing that gender identity that God gave them is so important now, because we live in a world where they're going to try and change it. And not on my watch. I think that parents now have got to be parents and just tell the truth according to the word. God made people male and he made them female. And I say this to those who do this sex change. The Bible says our bodies is the temple of the living God. We're going to get in trouble, because whosoever defiled God's temple, him will God destroy.
You're listening. You've listened to the Call to Action Radio Network with Race, Gender, Matrimony, and Murder as a topic with Bishop Patrick Wooden Sr. Thank you so much for being here today, Bishop.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
God
bless
you.
Appreciate you, man. Love you, brother.
Remember, the gospel is still the answer.